As Jim Smith relates, Jim, you were just going over the story with the detonators against the wall, a fire, cup of tea being brewed.
What a certain person had done, which it wouldn't do me any good to name, because he's dead and gone, and he was a good soldier. He emptied the detonators the side of the wall. Came back and he lit the fire to blow up. Everybody was happy and what you call it, because there was no fighting. We supposed to be having a rest. The sun on the detonators, the heat off the fire, the lot went. I'm not talking about one detonation, I'm talking about 500. You know what I mean?
Would that cause a big explosion, Jim?
Well, when you can imagine, one blows a little grenade in 39 pieces, which they are segregated, what will 500 do? Well,
yeah, a lot of damage, I imagine.
Correct. Well, it fetched the barn wall down and blew the lads all around the walls.
How many people were around that fire? Roughly.
There was certainly one crew, which were not Sammy Hollerton. I picture it now. Great grandmother.
Roughly.
Come to me anyway.
Roughly how many people?
Derek, little Kelly, turn down there. I said seven.
About seven
maybe
people.
Eight.
And was the chap that actually left the detonators out of the box? He wasn't there.
Oh, sir.
He wasn't there.
I jumped up motorbike and got.
Okay. And what was the sight that you saw when you described that scene, if you can?
You can't describe it.
Okay.
It was just lumps of meat together and with pipes, tattoos off Jake Rustin, he were a red soldier tattooed all over. You couldn't describe it.
Hmm.
It were like somebody had been up and down with you. What do you call them, wood choppers?
Machete?
No. That machine, what do you call them?
Oh, like a chainsaw?
Chainsaw. Just like somebody had gone through one of their chainsaws.
Yeah.
Splattered all over. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't think there was a scratch on the officer at the bottom, not with it. But the brown wall got on.
So that's awful, isn't it, to see something like that?
Bill Whittaker went bump.
Right, now Bill Whittaker, you were talking about earlier, weren't you?
That's when his nerves went. He could stand up, he could do nothing.
Did he actually see that go up then,
no,
or do you think?
They were with me when we heard the bump, we were having a cigarette.
Okay.
Up the road.
Yeah.
We heard the bump, because we stopped and said, pull up, turn it, stop. I said, man, so they smoke nice and quiet. I said, it worked. And as I said, you thought the heavens had opened up. Obviously, it opened up. The machine gun has opened up.
Yeah.
Thinking like they were. Which Manchester's were near us, machine gunners. And I said, if I got to get it, come on, I said, let's get back. I said, we're not here on our own. And that's what we're greeted with.
So what happened with Whittaker? Because was he with you at this stage when you saw this?
He was there, that.
But how did he react, Whittaker, when he saw this?
His eyes just went red and everything went limp. His whole body just collapsed. I would say every nerve in his body went. He couldn't even talk properly.
And what happened to him?
Well, that's where I'm getting a bit jocked up, aren't I? I was sent into the chateau of Severson to fetch Whittaker out because he'd gone. And he stopped with me for quite a while.
Yeah, but he stayed with it then until now in Noron-le-Bay.
Yeah.
They're on the bears later.
And then I never see no more after that.
No. So again, you don't know what happened after that.
Not really. But he married, he came home to England and then he married a Scotch girl, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, come down. I didn't get Malta in a bit. We carried on from there to get to Lasca.
That's right.
We set off at Lasca at 4 o'clock in the morning and the officer said, pass it down the line. We had yellow scarves, you know, yellow, like you put on your back for aircraft.
Mm.
So put the scarves around your mouth.
Mm.
So what's this for? Well, I obviously put them down. Ooh, yes, sir. His eyes are not quite as I. Bodies, horses, men, vehicles, all scuffed.
Shoved to the sides of roads. You mean?
I suppose they could go through. So I said, for them people, you shouldn't say it, but they were taking their rings off what they did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you ever think you could go to a dead person dead?
Wouldn't have thought so.
No. What do you think an English woman would?
Wouldn't have thought so.
No way. They will.
Who will, Jen?
Anybody over there.
Because it's in France.
France, Europe, Belgium, anywhere. Yeah, I don't think you get an English woman doing that. If an English woman did that, she would be the lost of the lost there.
Yeah.
But they were taking them off.
Yeah.
Oh, my lad, so he even cut his finger off on the arm.
Terrible.
Eh?
Terrible.
Do you not think they took it enough for what they've gone through?
Yeah. What were the scarves for, Jim? The yellow scarves?
Well, if you're in a position which it did happen, it writes well for us. And that various places, but not a lot. If third force were coming in to do a bombing raid, you'd have put that on your slip trench.
A scarf?
Well, it was like a boy scarf's.
Yeah.
And just put it up top of the slip trench with some little stone.
Yeah.
Marker.
It was an ID thing.
Correct.
So all of this sort of carnage that you saw there was German, presumably.
Oh,
and they were trying to escape through Falaise.
They never have escaped. There were about 30,000 escaped there, under their noses. And now, after that, this is where I say, when airborne are they? Got shot as I was driving.
Yeah.
When he sent me back to Iceland, he more or less saved my life in a way. He put me out of the carrier what I should have been in, what Eric were in. That got loads of bits. He got wounded. I'd have been hit up. But you see, him seeing me off and Dixon not caring for me, wanted me the only driver at back.
Yeah.
I were out of it.
This happened about the time of Falaise.
Oh, aye.
Yeah.
Just after.
Yeah.
Now then, we'd been moving about after Falaise got up and I'd stopped up going. And every time it came to our gun, he always put me with a gun in middle of the field when he came in winter. And I'll tell you the truth. I turned to the lads, I said, now then, stop for a break. I said, now, tonight when we put up, just watch us finish it at middle of the field. I said, he'd be burn or somewhere. We all put it. So he come at night. And he did me a good turn. He didn't know it. He says, in the middle of the field. I said, oh. He said, what's it do? I said, I can't remember my name. George Dixon said, you know what? Hold it up. He said, what's that? I said, oh, look how many would that be. I don't know what it was.
Your knee had swollen up.
Aye.
Balloon.
I don't know what I did either. Got from a table. And they never saw me there, and they caught me.
Where, what time of the year was this? Where was this, Jim? Was it summertime still, or was it?
No, that's why I thought, no, I've done my bit here. And every time, see, I'm only on the gunner, what you might say, driver. I work with the HQ, you see, you know, and he's rubbing like. But I thought, right, he's not putting me down, feel no more. Up to the guns, we're building up, but us, put him like he's a bit hoser, he knows what job is. So in other words, we were taking a rope for it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no way. He said, well, you'll have to go and very sick to won't it. So I cut the long story short, I went in and went there about 3 days. Grandma were put my leg up. I said, I'm great. No, we'll tell you when to go back. I woke it about for about a week. I thought, well, when I go back, there'll not be a feel when I get back. So I goes back, and it was just before.
Let me just let's just talk about some dates and times, Jim, because after the Falaise Gap, you sort of chased across France because the Germans were retreating. You went up to somewhere like Antwerp for a while. That would have been about September of 1944. But is this after that, you're saying?
No, we went up to Antwerp, didn't we? Trips to Dambosch.
Well,
we should have gone into Dambosch.
You went into Antwerp before St. Turgenbosch.
We should have gone into St. Turgenbosch. They said no. They wanted the port. So they concentrated on Antwerp.
Okay.
Because our lines of communication and feeding were getting too long. So we went on Antwerp. Antwerp docks. Now that's where I was called to do my business in Ivy.
Right, okay.
Thank God I never had it to do.
Yeah.
Antwerp docks, they were very flat. Even if you look at it today, it's very flat. It's more or less like column. But the docks is very flat. And what were it made on it? Were a water tower. And the jellies were dominating everything round with that water tower. So Tosser's come back, they told her up and they picked the best shots as they had. So anyway, we're taking you out tonight, 6 on us, and what that took water time and what it empty in the morning. Giving all these instructions, so they're also going with it, of course. We set off. And talk about kissing. As we set off down these gullies, to go to these water towers. Who did we bump into, won't it? Mikey, FFI.
Who?
The underground people.
Right, okay. Yeah.
The underground movement.
Yeah, Dutch underground.
Aye. Belgium underground.
Belgian underground, yeah.
That's where talking to us. Buster said, we can sit down. I said, well, I said, do it. They know a better way to get it. It went on at morning. Oh, yeah. Back in the old thing. He did a good job there.
So you didn't do any sniping then? Didn't do any sniping. Right. So
the Dutch went in. The Belgian people went in on the ground. They know a better way. We did more or less made a mess of it.
Yeah.
They knew how to go in.
Yeah.
They dropped it.
Okay. It.
The water tower gone then.
Yeah. So you remember Antwerp quite well then?
Well, I remember Antwerp for another thing at all. Can you see that?
Yeah, you got a finger.
See that there?
Third finger on your left hand, yeah.
Busty wide open.
Hmm.
But in a bogey, nobody had ever done one.
Hmm.
So we can't run pump. Rubber up and down, up and down, up and down. Rubber on to getting in line. So I'm running a driver. But you have to be a driver mechanic anyway to drive. So I said to Dixon, I said, I'd like to change this. This is not good. I said, the lad's inside. I said, you don't know where they are. Come on, we'll change it. Whether you hear purpose or not. Hammer. Bust it wide open.
Somebody hits your finger with a hammer.
Aye.
Yeah.
Not a ordinary hammer.
Yeah.
A lump hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it must be done. He said, well, I said, nah. I don't know. Bit of rag or something. I don't know what it burnt. Put it on. Put some solid tape. Not solid tape.
Plaster.
Tape for a car.
Hmm.
Nothing. And I lifted it right up. Come to us about 2 days after I said that thing. That's his right, I said, I'm up to it. About 4 or 5 days after I took it off, anyway.
It was okay. So he hadn't broken it?
No.
Or if he had, it had been repaired itself or whatever? Yeah.
See it work, right?
Yeah. And that was in Antwerp. That was September of... September of
44. Yeah. The weapon there. Where's that going to call? And we went into Helmond. To the side of Nambot. Dirty mile it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know it is because when we're out at Carlos, I said, look at that, Helmond. It's 30 miles from here.
Yep.
Now then, we get to Helmond.
Yep. Yeah, we're okay.
We get to Helmond. There's a good night, Lord, I said to it's not Brunson, Kettleton near Blackpool. He'd just been out to bury his little lad. His little lad had got killed. He'd only bomb around there to get to school.
Mm.
Called Gannell. I would never like that football player, Archie Gannell.
Yeah.
And I showed that to him. So he heard it did, you know. And he did go up. His head and his brains were all on the back, getting full blast.
That was in where? That was in?
Helmond.
Helmond.
So, which obviously what they do. And they think he was talking from the side of the road, or else he comes.
Yeah.
So he carries on and puts gun out. Somehow or other, gun were ready. And there. I come back, but I was behind one, so I must have let ammunition carry through the church there. One bullet blow my arm off. So I went in and barracked up. And they were a scouser, don't know his name. And they were in charge of a gun. Mm. He'd come as a reinforcement.
Mm.
And I looked at the table, where it went in half, row of houses, gun were at origin. I said to Sergeant, who's this fella? Big smart fella.
Mm.
Making their meatballs off at me, bless him, buddy. I can't help what to him. He says to me, what's the deal? I said, this is no. I said, what did he say? He said, his wife went yesterday, like her too much, so she's got her teeth going out later on.
Yeah.
He said, you're not satisfied. I said, no, I said, just keep your eye on him anyway. I said, that's all. I said, you know, I said, don't want to shoot the fella. I said, just keep your eye on him. You know, to a lonely driver. So at night he says, hey, stop at the house tonight. One dude said, I don't need that guy. I said, I don't suppose you do. I said, but I'm coming down.
Mm.
He said, you want that, so I'm coming down. And I went down to pub, got down it like. He said, what's it over here? I said, this one dad you're there. I said, he hasn't, there's no way. I said, is he? His wife's gone like that. I said, you must be joking. Well, he said, he looks genuine enough. I said, well, I said, the thing is, he's too genuine. I said, he's too good. I said, no way, I said, anyway, morning comes. Never forget it, because I've had a mosquito that was done in my eye up here. He said, that's your sleep. I said, that's sorry. So I went back to the house. He'd gone, hadn't he? Now I find on later on in years, your SS one was put out to find out what was going on.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Obvious.
Yeah.
This fella just come from England as a reinforcement. He hadn't done much fight. I said, no way, fella. But you see, you can't go upstairs, you can't tell him to see him
on. Well, it just shows you how you've got to be alert to those
everything.
Things, isn't it?
Everything. Me, he wouldn't have got to do it. I said, oh, out. It's great. He could have gone where he wanted. Yeah. I'd have watched it.
Do you remember at this time, because Antwerp was September.
Yeah.
But another date comes to my mind is about the third week of September was Arnhem.
Well, what did you say, or Arnhem? Now then, you see, we were shoved in the corridor at the Market Garden. We were shoved in the corridor to help the poor lads to get out of Arnhem. But what happened, we were cut off as well as they were cut off. One day you were using English rations, the next day you, if you wanted to eat it, German. That's how it gets sloppy. Now, a particular incident there at Vargo, me and Jimmy eats again. Jimmy, I'll tell you.
Where was this, Jim?
At Vargo.
Vargo.
Under the corridor to Arnhem.
Okay, yeah.
And, a matter of fact, we were there about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Down there. And this major, he got coming around to cut in the throat. They're coming across water and cut in the throat. And the canal there near Vargo, the rivers, and that's up. We'll call where we were. So he like put you on his toes, didn't he? And that hell went, I said to Jimmy, go and get on my shit. I hear about it. We're in little bars into the wood. I said, I'm right here. I said, that's not so far. I said, go and get on my shit. I'm not going for a run, I said. I said, go on for a run, I said, just around that corner. I said, all right. That's one ration. The major's asleep there. Blankets on him, lying down. I said, you may have to, you know what he's doing, don't he? I said, he's frightening everybody to death, so they keep waiting. So he could kip.
He wants to kip, so he wants everybody else awake.
Correct.
Yeah.
He said, ah. Then we're walking back. And then, we've got Tommy Guns later on the one. It's Dengum then, don't say anything, but anyway, reflective. I'm walking around with Dengum and to visit time, just with the look. Of course, look, jumps out in front of us, doesn't he? Now we're going back to the same thing as in Grandville. Trigger rolls up, trigger. Finger.
Yeah.
And not automatic. It's the officer, artillery. And it just, he was lucky he got it out.
But was he involved in Arnhem? Was he coming back from Arnhem, that guy?
No, he was sent off as a reinforcement to injuries and what we had as casualties while we were trying to keep the corridor open.
Yeah.
With our shells.
Yeah.
So he came over with a group of lads would have been on that CAC in London. So he was very lucky he weren't shot anywhere but totally after.
Yeah.
But when we got to run down and we stood there on there. And I stood me over this like get it properly, get it proper dates. Jimmy says to me, I wonder what time it is. I don't know the watch. I said, I don't know. Good, you're whispering, you're not shouting. It's at night, and you're on sentry. So I said, excuse me, I said, just. Excuse me. I said, just nip over to the lad to us there. He said, ask him what time. Ask him what time it is. So what do you mean, correct over? And he hit this one. Well,
I guess he said something, did he? Startled.
He says this. He went right to her. He said to her, what time is it? Very low, you know, didn't want to make any noise. So the lad what come out back out from London. Oh, he said, you're all right, it's only about 3:30.
Yeah. So all that silence, and all that silence has gone.
Never seen a fellow ever start in your life.
Yeah.
He come to me and said, get down. Hellfire, we got all sorts of
at that stage, this is around the corridor. Well, you said it was at the corridor for Arnhem.
Trying to get the lads for us to get up together.
Yeah, but at that stage, who were you attached to, Jim, or who were you with?
Dante Tank Platoon. Put out. It could have been A Company, C Company, or D Company.
Yeah, so you weren't in A echelon at this time?
No. I was back riding.
Yeah.
Now then, Hellfire comes up to America. We're there. We'd had that bit of a seed at night. We left the yard in 2:30 in the morning, you know. Got all hell sent at us. I'm making a breakfast at morning. Making a breakfast for Gunty, me and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And don't forget to ask him Tony place where he had his steel helmet set to fire.
Yeah, right.
And don't forget that. Mm. And then he said it.
Mm.
And just see how wrong I am.
Mm.
And how lies it is.
Mm.
It's gospel truth. Sat there. I said, just talking just what they're on about for breakfast, just. Said, what's to do? I said, no, it's all right. I said, there's only about 30 here and sat behind us. And the platoon is jealous, just like one of us was here.
Yeah.
They're watching us.
About 30 yards away.
Oh, what's wrong?
Yeah.
No rifle. No stinking monkey. We were here. They were there. How I got to that one, I don't know.
But this is in the same area, Jim, is it?
Aye.
Is it around that corridor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got away, you know, but they know where they went.
Yeah.
So they must have got back across the waters.
Yeah.
But they were there. And they've been waking me up at night. He says, listen. And as I said, you know, good ears. Better than me.
You can hear things clicking.
And leather.
Yeah.
Anyway, their equipment. Do you know what they've done?
No.
Kept on the rosy gully.
Oh, right. They didn't know you were up there.
Oh,
no.
Because the one thing I always used to maintain, if you're on guard with me, you do what we've been learning. What's that? You stand still and you don't move. Because you want to see a rabbit when he's running.
Yeah.
Our lads, he's walked past me and I've been suddenly intrigued. I said, well, where are you going? And he didn't see it here. I thought, well, I didn't want this to him because I didn't know where.
No, it's true, because I suppose you have to freeze, don't you, I suppose, just so they don't see you move at all.
You get a background in this, don't
you? Yeah. So let's just... So that's there, that's the Arnhem Corridor.
That's the Arnhem Corridor.
Which is September. Yeah. I'll because I know some of these dates, so I'll just remind you, if you like, Jim, of the dates and where you went from there, and to see if you've got any thoughts on it. So from the Arnhem corridor, which was September, I know about the third week in October, you attacked, as part of 53rd Division, you attacked a town called St. Ergenbosch.
Correct.
So you've got that time between the Arnhem corridor and then attacking up into St. Ergenbosch. Have you got any thoughts of St. Ergenbosch?
That's where we went Telmont, isn't it?
Yep.
We went Telmont first.
Yep.
And then we went Telmont. We came back to St. Ergenbosch. What's that place, as Bob said, he stayed at? We came back through Rosmallen.
Rosmallen, yeah.
See? And from Rosmallen, we went on through, I know this is spot on, because me and the woman over there went over it. We didn't know where we went on to railway to go into St. Ergenbosch. We could go in because it was too buggy for their tanks and everything. So what they decided on was going up railway line.
Yeah.
So they went on into Hinton,
yeah,
which is a bit further on than Rosmallen. Rosmallen.